Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
Welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones with you. As the Buffalo Bills push towards their first Super Bowl title continues on in the divisional round here in 2025 as they get set to host the Baltimore Ravens. All right, before we get into that game, let's talk a little bit about Buffalo and their win in the wild card round over the 7th-seeded Denver Broncos. I don't know. I felt more nervous. I felt like last week, and by the time game day kicked in, I was like, oh, I have no nerves. I'm fine. Denver goes on their first drive, scores a touchdown, gets on top of Taylor Rapp. But I was there with my buddy. We looked at each other. We shrugged our shoulders and said, meh, they'll be fine. And 31-7, Buffalo cruised in this one. It took a little while, but they did it.
It did take a minute, but you know what? They were in the zone, and they were really ripping.
Yeah. I mean, all cylinders. Josh had a great game running, throwing the football. Some really great plays in this one. Mac Hollins with a huge blow on that punt return. That was fantastic. Some questionable calls, as always. This is the NFL. Let's not shock ourselves here. But all in all, solid win. And a reminder that Buffalo is where it is for a reason, and Denver still has a long ways to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really good season for the Broncos. I don't know if anybody would have predicted that they got that hot that quickly. That making the playoffs with a rookie QB is awesome. But it's just the skill level difference in the NFL.
Yep, that's 100%, I believe, what it is here. I don't think Bo Mix played bad at all. It's just the better team clearly won in this game. And I feel like that's how it went in a good chunk of the first round games.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was just that, it really felt like the wild card games outside of the Buccaneers Commanders was a dropping in every single contest.
Yep, correct. So there you go. The Buffalo Bills now will head to town to face Houston. We'll talk about that. But nope, they return home this week. They'll be taking on the Baltimore Ravens, a team who came here for the divisional round back in the 2020-2021 season in the playoffs, and Buffalo was able to go ahead a 17-3 win. So right now they're taking on a Baltimore Ravens team that they did face earlier in the season in week 4, and it's night and day how different the difference is for the Buffalo Bills, at least, going into this game.
Yeah, no Milano, no Bernard, no Johnson in that game. Ed Oliver gets hurt one series into the game. And it's a wildly different game. The Bills offensively kind of really hadn't found their full momentum yet. They'd had some really good games, but the unit really hadn't kind of come together like they had. So it's going to be an exciting matchup.
I believe no Shakir in that one. They had not yet acquired Amari Cooper, and Josh was always played with a broken hand too, not throwing, but still, all that added up there, that's not the case this time around. There's players who are healthy. This is a much healthier Bills squad, especially going into this week. This is a night and day different matchup that we had way back earlier in the year.
Yeah, and it's going to be a heavyweight titan matchup between the two MVP candidates, honestly, Brad. It is, it is the marquee matchup, I think, of the playoff weekend. Commanders-Lions is going to be a fun one. It's the other one in the NFC. Rams-Eagles is going to be interesting. Texans-Chiefs probably will be less interesting. I mean, the Texans looked good, but in all actuality, I think it was just that the Chargers looked worse. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where this is going to be in, right, you know, with the placement of it, it is sort of the marquee matchup of the weekend.
Let's get into injuries really quickly while we have a chance here. Looking across the board right now, I mean, the big one here for Baltimore is Zay Flowers. And it's been 2 days, and Zay Flowers has not practiced. I'm going to say likely he may not be playing in this one, but we'll find out. It's going to be a game-time decision. Anything could happen. I think they're going to want him good to go. So we'll see if they see the young man out of Boston College this weekend. But Deonte Hardy, former Buffalo Bill last year, had a knee injury, but full participant, so it looks like he'll go. So a much smaller, shorter injury report. But for the Bills, I mean, everyone's been full participants other than Alex Anderson, who went out with a calf injury. He was limited yesterday and today at practice. And Ray Davis, who had a concussion, he's been limited. So the fact that he is practicing, that he's not, that's a good sign going into this weekend as well.
Yeah, Alex Anderson being the only one is a little difficult. He's been a guy who, you know, really has seen a lot of usage, especially last game where the Bills really just lined it up and ran it. He got rolled up on. He's back in the game, but the calf injury, you know, those soft tissue injuries are real dicey going forward. Zay Flowers missing for the Ravens is a huge, huge minus for them. He is an all-star, an incredibly great young player, one of Lamar's favorite targets, and not having him around is really going to hurt their passing game.
And then I mentioned Ray Davis just there, that the fact that he's been limited in practice with that nasty hit that he took, and I know Josh, you could see his reaction. He instantly felt terrible about putting him in harm's way there. He's been limited. That's a good sign going into this week, but I don't believe that Ray Davis is any kind of X factor. He's been an integral part. He's great out of catching in the backfield, but I don't see this game being made or broken without or with Ray Davis.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's difficult, but the Bills are, I mean, it really stinks. That was just disappointing. It was just a really unfortunate hit. But also B, you know, it is one of those things where, I don't know, Brad, the Bills are really lucky to have three really good backs. They built a really good backfield. I believe Frank Gore Jr. is also still in the practice squad, so I wouldn't be shocked if he gets called up for this one if Ray Davis isn't able to go.
Yeah, he's only been elevated one time, and it was, I believe, the Miami game. So we may very well see a dose of Frank Gore Jr., I would think, if Ray Davis isn't good to go.
I would not be shocked by that at all. And it's really unfortunate because Ray Davis was putting together a really good grouping. You know, just a really good group of plays. He was running the ball well. He's a threat out of the backfield. Hopefully, if the Bills end up winning this game, they'll be able to have him back for the AFC Championship.
All right, so how do you see this game playing out here, Alex? I have heard folks say that it's going to be, you know, a defensive slugfest, that it's going to be an offensive slugfest. I'm leaning towards that it's going to be, you know, just throwing punches back and forth, and whoever's still standing at the end obviously moves on to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a defensive slog. I think both teams are going to come out with a really good game plan to slow down the other. And I think it's going to be whoever can get a couple consistent scores going. Both teams are slow starters. They're teams that don't really put it on in the first half. They really wait till the end, like second half, to really get the engine running. And so I think it's going to be a very tight first half. And then the second half is just going to be haymakers left and right.
Let's talk a little bit about the Ravens game last round. In the wild card round, watched almost the entire game, rooting for, of course, the Steelers in this one because, yeah, who wants to face Baltimore? But it was amazing in that one to just see them blanket Lamar and just let Derrick Henry run free. I would not think that that's going to be part of the Sean McDermott, Bobby Babbage defensive game plan.
No, I don't think so either.
I've heard this argument, and I don't know, I can't see them doing it, but put five men on the line, three linebackers, just stack everyone in the box when you see those two tight end sets and they bring in a six offensive lineman. They're going run. I've heard it countered to make that. I haven't seen them make that kind of defensive change, but towards this late in the season, I'd say any tricks that are in your defensive playbook, they're probably coming out, at least in this one, you're trying to fight and play another day.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to do something. I mean, maybe bring in Dorian Williams or maybe even roll in an extra safety, somebody like Cam Lewis, who can or maybe a Cole Bishop who can step up in the box and kind of play a hybrid role for you. I think that would be – Micah Hyde played that role for a few years, and I would not be shocked if the Bills run something similar.
Is there a method, is there a way in your mind – to shut down Derrick Henry yet?
I mean, the Bills have done it. I think it's out of – the Bills have played Derrick Henry 10 times. Mm-hmm. 7 out of the 10 times he's been held for less than 100 yards. 4 out of those 10 times he's been held for less than 60 yards. So the game plan is there, and you got to be disciplined. You got to really stick with it. You got to commit your defenders to essentially saying, you know what? We're going to play tight defense on Derrick Henry, and we're going to trust Greg Rousseau, Vaughn Miller, all of these guys, you're going to hem Lamar in. We're going to have you just hold him up so the rest of the defense can rally.
And, you know, as much as everyone wants to, you know, just go back and rehash and live back to week 4 and in that matchup, you know, between these two teams here, you know, Buffalo obviously has a better record. Baltimore's lost 5 games. Granted, they had a losing record going into that game at 1-2, but, I mean, this is a team who has shown that, you know, they're beatable at any point. I don't think there's any true juggernaut in the league right now that you absolutely don't want to face. But, I mean, as a whole, I think this team is definitely beatable. Losses to the Steelers and Eagles down the stretch. Two good teams the Eagles, you know, who knows? They could be a Super Bowl team this year. But, I don't know. I don't feel like this Baltimore team going into this one is untouchable.
No, I don't think so either. And I honestly think, too, I think it's one of those things where it feels like everybody and their brother is rooting for a Bills-Lions Super Bowl. And it is funny how sometimes those storylines do happen. Kind of like a few years back when it was the 49ers versus the Ravens in the Super Bowl. You know, everybody, it kind of felt like everybody was kind of rooting for a Harbaugh Super Bowl. And so it would be very interesting to see if that energy can carry the Bills through to New Orleans.
Yes, and I mean, with this team, they've beyond exceeded expectations here. We talked a lot about it last week, that this team was not supposed to be as good as they were this year, and they've been that good and then some, that I think they silenced a lot of the critics throughout the course of the year. Once they got a couple of those losses out the way, and I think that was important for that to happen for the Bills early in the season against the Ravens and the Texans, and then just putting together a big long run before they finally lost to the Rams in early December. I don't know. This team is... The experts can go and I think put every X and Y in the coaching staff and say, oh yeah, how about this?
Yeah, I agree. I think what's going to happen in this game is going to be wildly unpredictable. I think both of these coaches are incredibly good. And I think they're going to come in with game plans to stop each other. And it's the coaching aspect is, I think, the biggest part of this. We saw McDermott be able to stop Lamar Jackson in the playoffs previously, and I trust this defense to get it done. I think our offense too is in a much better place than it was the last time we played the Ravens in 2021.
Yeah. Because if you go back then, you know, that's when, you know, they had Stephon Diggs on that roster, but then they still had a lot of the Smurfs. John Brown was still on there. Cole Beasley was still on there. Isaiah McKenzie was still on there. This is a 100% different wide receiver room. And Matt Collins has made him such a valuable asset this year because he's willing to put his body on the line. And if you saw any of the close-up pictures last weekend, he'll do it while wearing a cheap Casio watch at the same time.
Yeah.
He's one of the X factors that has come in for the Bills this year that he's been very under the radar. He's done what you've asked him to do. I don't think he's ever truly disappointed this year because I think we all have our eye on expectations or realistic expectations for what Mac Jones should do in the Mac Collins should do in this one. Curses I ever cross my Maxes again.
Yes. And you know what? That's that play felt like the game-changing play, Brad. You know, it kind of felt like everything shifted on that big hit on the punt. And, I mean, there's not much more you can say, right? I mean, these matchup is two MVP candidates argue one side or the other. They both have their merits. You know, you have two fan bases that were fervently for both of their guys. And you know what? It's just, I don't know. I'm excited for this game, and I just, in my gut, I'm just confident that the Bills got this one.
Yeah, it took me a little while, and just like last week, that I don't know if other Bills fans are going through the same motions and feelings that I am, that you kind of have to really listen, really lay out all the facts, and really make an educated decision that, hey, the Bills are going to stick around. And the more, you know, we inch up closer, and I know we don't do predictions on this podcast, but the closer we get to this game, the more I feel that Buffalo has very good chances of going out there and winning this one, even though I believe right now they are in as underdogs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's probably just a straight-up pick'em, but, I mean, I love the Bills being underdogs at home in front of their fans.
Well, and yeah, and that's huge in this one. Great segue here, Alex. Buffalo coming in here, taking on, you know, the Ravens in the friendly confines of Highmark Stadium. That is huge. They're one-point underdogs. Like you said, it might as well could be a pick 'em at this point, but the fact that it's here, that gives Buffalo an extra advantage, especially Baltimore is not an easy place to play. Big advantage here for the Bills.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that was a big part, too, of the game that Baltimore won this year was the Bills went in there. That stadium was rocking. It's a difficult place to play an MT stadium, but it's a difficult place to play in Buffalo as well. It's going to be cold. The wind's going to be biting. It's going to be a tough one.
Full disclosure, after the Bills didn't win the game, I have a friend who's a Ravens fan, and they reached out to me and were like, yeah, I really want to go to this game. Want to sell me one of the tickets? And I said, I'm not selling my tickets to a Raven fan. Absolutely not. So I really want to see Bills Mafia to turn out and get really loud. I tell you what, Alex, it was so loud last Sunday at Highmark Stadium. You could barely hear the train horn when they played. It was so, you could hardly hear the PA announcer. It was ridiculously loud in that stadium.
Yeah, I bet it was. It seemed that way on the television.
I mean, I hope it came out on television. It was, that building was rocking. And I've been to a lot of Bills games since we reload up here a couple years ago. And I don't know. I don't think I'd been to a louder game thus far. And I think that's only the tip of the iceberg.
I do too. I think it's going to keep getting louder.
All right, Houston Texans taking on the Chiefs. Let's deviate from the Bills-Ravens game a little bit and talk about this game. Can you give any confidence to our Bills Mafia listeners here on why they could believe that Buffalo's hosting the AFC Championship game here in Orchard Park?
Anything is possible. The Chiefs have kind of cardiac their way through the season. There's a chance that magic runs out. C.J. Stroud is a really good quarterback. He's regressed a little bit in his sophomore year. And the Texans do have a brutal defense. They have two really good edge rushers in Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. It's possible. It's not probable, but it's possible.
And I think that's really the advantage here for Houston in that game is their defense. D'Amico Ryan's defensive-minded coach, I think he's done a fantastic job overall with that team. Like you said, Will Anderson Jr., scary out there. Loved watching him in college. That was an amazing draft that they could go ahead and get Stroud and Will Anderson. Texans played that draft well, in my opinion. But the offense, obviously the injury bug has bit them. No Tank Dell, no Stephon Diggs. So really it's Nico Collins, who I still get prods from my Michigan fan Bill's little brother, who's like, oh, the Bills should have taken Nico Collins. Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, I get it. But it's the defense that would carry Houston in this game, in my opinion, against a Kansas City offense who's been, I would say, a little bit lackluster.
Yeah, I would agree. I think at times their tackles, too, are the weakest spot. They have an amazing interior with Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, but it's going to be a really tough matchup. It's going to be borderline impossible, Brad.
And let me go ahead and just throw this out there now. I believe in the power of the Swifties, because Travis Kelce has had his statistically worst season since he came into the league and is still going to the Pro Bowl because he was carried by the Swifties.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's sad, and I hate it.
Yeah, it should have been Brock Bowers. Should have been Brock Bowers.
All right. Remind you to go where to find us across our social media. Follow Alex on Twitter at TWCallahanDHS. You can follow me at Bills Bruiser or us at DHS Buffalo. You can also find us at Facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse and DraftHouseSports.com. Bills Ravens coming up here at 6:30 from Highmark Stadium. Let's talk weather in this one. That's going to be a factor here. And just based off the way that they've been trying to practice this week. It's been too cold. The fields have been frozen outdoors in Baltimore, that they've been haven't been able to practice outside, that they had to cut the water and cut the heat in their indoor facility to try to cool it down as much as they can to try to replicate the elements of Buffalo. I don't even know if that's going to help at any point here. Forecasted to be 8 degrees at kickoff. It's supposed to snow. The elements should, I would think they're going to help the Bills in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's hard to replicate and get ready for, and the only way to do is by doing. The Bills being here in Buffalo, it lets them do that. You know, lets them get ready as much as humanly possible.
And last time they hosted a playoff game in these kind of temperatures, it was back in that 2021-22 season where the New England came here and the offense pitched a perfect game. Never punted at any point. Just a fantastic outing for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Defense played well. Beautiful interception I can visualize in my head right now by Micah Hyde in this one, who's, of course, back on the Bills with the practice squad right now. Curious, he could be elevated now. 3 games left. We could elevate him all 3 if you want to. Do you see them freeing up a spot to put Micah Hyde in? I think it's too soon for that.
I would agree with that. This is a little ahead of itself, but if it's going to happen, I think it's New Orleans.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it's New Orleans. I think they bring him on, maybe even find a spot for him to get, you know, play. Maybe have him just play some special team snaps or anything like that. And I think if they get to that point, if it turns out, knock on wood, to get to that point, I could see them doing that.
And I anticipate this game to be a slugfest that we'll see what injuries look like after this one. I don't want to jinx anyone if you believe in that, but we'll see what injuries look like that. Who knows? You might need the services of some of the guys deeper on your rosters. We have had in years past, but right now in the divisional round, I think this is the healthiest roster that the Bills have had at this point in the playoffs in a very, very long time.
I completely agree, Brad. Outside Alec Anderson and Ray Davis, it is the most. I mean, years past, Gabe Davis was hobbled. Stephon Diggs was always fighting injury. You had a few big guys always out, and this is. It feels like the momentum is shifting a little.
All hands on deck, maybe.
All hands on deck. It's sellout. It's at this point, every game is the most important game, because if you don't win, you're out. So I think the Bills, you kind of have to throw the kitchen sink every single week.
All right. Now, we could go lay out plans and come up with a solution for you, wherever you may be, on how you could cope with this game if the Bills should not win. But honestly, I don't think we even want to gravitate near that if it happens, yeah, we can give you some therapy tips. We're not licensed therapists either, full disclosure. But we can always do that on another podcast. I don't know. I don't even think thinking about a loss is anywhere anyone's headspace should be in this one. It's win, and you continue to play for the Lombardi Trophy. Yeah, I'm all in on this Bills squad here.
I am too. It's one of the best ones we've seen. They've been incredibly successful. Josh is playing some of his best ball. I like our chances against anybody at this point.
What are the keys to the game here for the Buffalo Bills? Obviously, it's going to be, you know, containing Lamar, doing what they can to shut down Derrick Henry. Break it down a little more specifically here for us. What do the Buffalo Bills need to do to get a win and move on to the AFC Championship game?
I think what you got to do early is you got to try to get a 3-and-out or some sort of turnover, and then really dominate the clock. Put the Ravens where they're chasing you, where now they have to match whatever you do. That moves them away from their competent run game, because they're now chasing you. If you win the toss, defer to the second half. Hopefully you get a stop in the first series, and then you can get your offense. The Bills this season have been doing a really amazing job with time of possession, where they stretch out these really long series, and I could see them bleeding the Ravens dry just slowly, slowly over time, dragging them into the deep end, making them feel more and more hectic with every possession that they need to score, they need to score, they need to score, and really start making them force their hand to push the ball downfield without their best weapon on the receiving core, Zay Flowers there.
You know, it's oftentimes in the playoffs that when you talk about kicking, a name that's going to come to mind is Justin Tucker. He hasn't had the season that you would expect. I mean, it's a shell of Justin Tucker, if you will. How about on the other side? How crucial is Tyler Bass's, 3-for-3, all extra points made, everything made? How important is that confidence for him going to this one? Because he very well, it could come down to a Tyler Bass kick.
I mean, yeah, and Tyler Bass has come up exceedingly clutch this year. He's had a few misses, but he's been very steady to end the season. You know what? You got to trust your kicker. You got to trust him to make those big kicks.
And of course, as much as I love Sam Martin, and he's been a great addition to this roster, I hope he never comes on the field at any point.
No, and I mean, that's we're fine with that. You know, maybe another reenactment of the New England wildcard game from a couple years ago.
But should we see him in this one? He's been the king of the coffin corner. There's a reason he got a bonus for punts inside the 20-yard line. I mean, he's done a fantastic job of ball placement. That is huge in this game.
Yeah, that would be putting the vaunted defense in a position, putting our vaunted defense in a position to get some points on the board with a safety, or forcing them to punt from their own end, giving you really good field position, will be absolutely crucial for this game.
But, like I said, I hope we don't see him at all.
Hopefully only on extra points or field goals.
That's it. Final thoughts on this one here?
Go Bills.
All right, go Bills indeed. That's going to do it here for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Again, find us across social media. You can find us all across Twitter. Find me at Bills Bruiser. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS at DHS Buffalo on DraftHouseSports.com and on Facebook at Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Dig in, Bills Mafia. Let's go. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.